Our gospel lesson is a continuation of the gospel according to Mark. We're in the 9th chapter. And Jesus is dealing with some of the misconceptions of his followers about what it means to be a disciple. Let us now listen for good news. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm dies not and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Good news from Mark's Gospel. A disciple is a pupil, a learner, someone who embraces and helps to spread the teachings of another. As Christians, this means that we are students of Jesus' teaching, and that by our lives, we spread those teachings. As a gathered church, we have made this clear in our covenant, which you have right on the top of your bulletin, right in the back of the hymnal. We identify ourselves at the very outset as followers of Jesus Christ. We say that we will grow in the knowledge and of expression of our faith. We say that we will reach out with compassion to those in need and that we will treat each other with love and understanding. It can't really be made a whole lot simpler than that, can it? A follower follows and then lives the following. Now, doing this is difficult, actually almost impossible, if we try to do it by ourselves, which is why Jesus gave us each other, which is why Jesus gave us the church. And it's why there are so many teachings in the New Testament on community, on life together, like the ones we heard this morning from James and from Jesus in Mark's Gospel. For the last several weeks, we've listened as James has told us what will break down a community. And today, we hear what builds it up. James reflects a passion for community, lived in belief in God, and in living out that belief through works on behalf of others. It is a passion that we're seeking to rekindle here on Church Street for a time like this. James' passion was inflamed by what he had heard and seen in the teaching and the life of Jesus. Jesus teaches a way that is inclusive, generous even. "Whoever is not against us," he says, "is for us." Jesus holds up the need to do good for others in a positive way, extending ourselves and making sure that we don't become tripping stones, scandals, tripping stones. The Greek word for tripping stone is a scandalon. It literally means a paving stone that pops up and causes you to stumble. Our life together should not be scandalous. It should build people up, not trip them up. Not cause them to stumble and fall. Jesus uses some powerful hyperbolic language to tell us just how important it is that we see the needs and the growth of others as our responsibility. And that's that whole section I read where he says, if it doesn't, cut it out, throw it out, poke it out. I always tease when people say, "I take the Bible literally." I said, "You ever sinned with your eye?" "Well, yeah." I said, "How come you still got two?" Think about it. And here's the point that Christians keep missing. It's not about me. It's about us. It's about what helps us to grow as a community of faith. It helps. It's about us all together making it to heaven, not just me making sure that I've got fire insurance. All we have to do to understand that is look to the sacraments, to look to the central, to the powerful and common thing that is there for Christians everywhere, a common symbol of a font and a table. Now, some of you have asked me, why are you so strong on frequent communion? Well, first I am because as I read the Bible, it seems to me that it was the norm for Christian weekly worship from the beginning. But that's stuff for another time and another debate. But I'm strong on it, too, because in a very graphic, very tangible way, it reminds us of what it means to be a disciple, of who we are and what we are to be for the world around us. We come to a table set with ordinary items, bread and cup, and these become vehicles for God's presence to us and for our transformation. Communion reminds us that God does the same thing in and through us, through you, through me. And our Puritan forebears called this the covenant sealed, the gospel made visible. A disciple's life is to have that same sacramental character as that table. We are to be Eucharist for each other, lives broken open, poured out, shared for each other, all to build up the body, all to provide nourishment so that others may grow. So what does it mean to be a disciple for a time like this? I think we know. At least if we've given any thought to what we've heard over the years in worship, or if we've read our covenant with any kind of attention. In a world where violence becomes a means for getting their attention and leads a 15-year-old boy to kill his principal, to give just one close to home and recent example, and where people kill to give glory to God, you and I, we must give witness to transforming grace. To be a disciple for a time like this is to be a quiet, consistent, solid witness of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And we must pray. Pray frequently, pray fervently, as James reminds us. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Jesus said his followers were to be salt and to be light, to give flavor and illumination to a world gone flat and dark. It hasn't changed. It's still true, even for a time like this. So come to the table, receive, remind yourself of who you are and who we are. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. How else then shall we live?